Scope is filmed before a live studio audience.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that doesn't waste time on talent. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
we put Shane's friend Al through the nerd degree, we review the latest from the Flaming Lips and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, and we struggle to be entertaining for another 45 minutes.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hey everybody, welcome to the second episode of The Scope. I'm your host Shane, sitting here for show number two. We've got Adam. Hey Adam.
Hello.
And Jared running the technical side of things once again.
That's what I do.
You do it very well.
Thanks.
Well, everybody, we are back for show number two.
Survived. Nobody actually threatened our lives or anything.
Well, except my wife and my best friends and you guys. But people thought we would not be back. It would not be possible that we could actually put together a show week after week and entertain everybody. So
that's why we went to a bi-weekly schedule, so we don't have to do it week after week.
Yes. For all of our listeners out there, from now on, we will be doing the show every other week, so you'll have to sit on your hands and be very excited in the off week and maybe check out the site and do other things. Send in comments to us, so be ready for that. But
Be ready for it.
It's interactive. Anyway, let's get the show going. I think this is the part of the show where we talk about kind of what happened the last week for us, a week or two, and kind of segue into the actual meat of the show. But I got to tell you guys something that happened actually right when we left the show last week. I went home and was very excited about what we did, and was just couldn't wait to tell my family, my wife and lovely daughter, and they were really not that interested in talking to me and give me the attention and love I deserve for the fantastic show we put together. they were actually watching that VH1 Top 100 Child Stars. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
So it's literally just
a little bit here and there.
It's just a random list of all the celebrities. Usually, 1970s.
It's not random. It's technically compiled.
Well, I'm watching this and I'm thinking, I don't know what makes Peter Brady better than Cindy Brady, but I mean they have some sort of weird logarithmic calculation to figure this stuff out. So yeah, I'm there and they're watching. Both of them are actually watching it. My daughter is a year and a couple months, so it's a little frightening that she's already hooked into VH1.
She wants to be a child star on her own.
I don't really think I would want to see that, but she's young, so anything could happen. But I have to say, so we're watching this and all of a sudden on the screen it's like number 50 something, and it's the kid that plays Charlie from is it Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? I don't know. The 1970s.
Willy Wonka
and the Chocolate. The kid's name is Peter Ostrom. Mm-hmm. Ostrom. So he's this little moppet, blonde haired guy, and he comes up on the screen along with all his little Willy Wonka, Oompa Loompa things, and thank you. We worked like 4 days to get that sound effect in there. Anyways, so I come in and they finally give me some attention, and Carrie pauses the DVR, that's digital video recording device, and on the screen at the time it's just this black and white picture of a giant picture of Charlie's head, just black and white, kind of creepy. And as soon as she pauses it, the daughter looks at the screen and starts screaming, like freaking out. And she just could not understand what this creepy Charlie was doing on the screen. So
usually she's very receptive to things on the television, but this was just an anger outburst.
Yeah, she loves cows and farms and little puppets dancing around, but I guess when it's Charlie, it's a whole different story. So we have this on the screen, and we really, at the time, we didn't understand what was going on, and kind of unpaused the TV a little bit later, and it kept running. But all the time that Charlie was on there, she was really, really agitated, and didn't want anything to do with it. So my wife, being the perfect mother that she is, saved this episode of this VH1 Top 100 Child Stars, and then she was testing Audrey a little bit later in the week. So she played a little bit later and put up Charlie's face, and my daughter would just totally freak out every single time. So for anyone that doesn't know her, she loves James Blunt. So every time James Blunt is on there singing You're Beautiful, she stops and loves him. But anytime it's Charlie, forget about it. So yeah, it's very wrong. So yeah, there's my my completely random story that was not thought out for to open up the segment.
Uh-huh. You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Wonka. Anyway, so I wanted to talk to Adam a little bit about his L.A. trip. This past week, he was out of town on business. He was in L.A. and in San Francisco.
I don't know how to do interviews.
So Adam, what did you learn while you were on the West Coast? Anything? Any good stories?
No, not so much.
Sure!
Oh, no.
So this segment's dead. No, I don't really even have any good anecdotes. It's just, I don't know. It was kind of boring.
The one thing I wanted to ask you was, when you were in San Francisco, was it the gayest city? According, you know, we had that study last week.
Right. I don't know. It was relatively gay. I would put it up there.
That's amazing.
You found corroborating evidence?
Right. Well, on my flight from San Francisco to L.A., I had the most flamboyant flight attendant I've ever seen in my life. And during the the pre-flight where they show you how to buckle your seatbelt, because people don't know how to do it. he the way that he would, his mannerisms were just way over the top, like
unreal.
Right.
He didn't sound like that.
No, definitely not.
Did he offer to help buckle you in?
No, not me. But I think as he was coming up the aisle, he was helping other people. I'm pretty secure in making my own seatbelt connections.
But you've had years of practice,
right? As they're telling us how to exit and run away and all that, it's just his mannerisms, like I was saying. And he had his own like little pouch of equipment, to help to demonstrate.
It's like a gay kangaroo.
Yeah, exactly. And when she was like, buckle this, the stewardess that was talking overhead, he flipped out the seatbelt. And well, anyway, it's not good for radio, is it? But
not hot.
Yeah. Okay. He was the only gay person I saw in all of San Francisco. Yep.
That's a little disappointing. So maybe the study's wrong.
Maybe they've invented gay camel, and they just blend into the scenery.
Wow. Their voice cracks and everything. Well,
it's too early for this.
Thank you, Adam, for all your great stories about L.A. and San Francisco.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
I'm happy I did.
Headshots.
As everyone who listens to the show knows, the show is about us being kind of geeky and left of center. We're not quite athletes and that sort of thing. And
affirmative, Dr. Smith.
Yeah, and I have a little story to tell you guys about.
I don't know what you consider kickball, but I consider that a sport.
Oh, so. That's right. You got that kickball league going.
That's right.
Beer in one hand, kickball in the other.
Beer.
It's beer in both hands.
Oh, thank you.
Kickball on the ground.
Well, makes it tough to hit somebody in the face.
That's why they kick, so they can two-fist it.
Gotcha. Well, I want to talk about me. Right now. Anyway, so this last week I was perusing the local Best Buy ad, and they had a great sale on the new Thundercats DVD.
Thundercats! Ho!
So I had to get my wife's permission, and I decided to buy it because it was such a good deal. And I have to say that, and I guess this has happened to me plenty of times going to Best Buy, is that whenever you buy something that isn't quite normal, so you're not buying a NFL retrospective or something like that, you're buying these cartoons from your childhood.
Not hot.
I feel like an utter and complete tool. And
oh no.
Yeah, this one was even worse because I was going through the line and the price didn't come up correctly, so they're going through all this hubbub and you got this 30-year-old guy
buying Thundercats.
And the person that's checking me out is this fairly cute girl who probably wasn't even bored when the show came out, so she's looking at me, judging me. And
we're standing over here in the corner judging people.
Wow, that was very quick. Impressive. Anyway, so, yeah, that was my opportunity to reestablish my geek cred and at the same time be looked down on and all the employees at Best Buy and also my wife, who...
I'm kind of surprised at that reaction because I've seen the commercials. For the what they're calling the second and final season of Thundercats.
It was so good that they couldn't make more.
Well, make it sound like there is always the threat that they could make more. That you know, they're just waiting for the go-ahead from the studio or something.
Yeah, now, just pull the trigger.
Now I have to ask, because I don't know that we've ever talked about Thundercats. Mm-hmm. Have you watched the DVDs? And when was the last time that you watched Thundercats?
Okay, so...
Given Shane's track record of watching DVDs, this should be interesting. Right.
Yes, in my room, my vault full of DVDs, I've watched about 3% of them, and Thundercats is not one of them.
You know, you lose!
Thank you. The last time that I watched it probably was early 90s, somewhere in there, back on Toonami on the Cartoon Network.
Okay.
And before that, the Thundercats was part of my holy trinity of cartoons growing up that I loved, along with Voltron and Robotech, which are my favorite things. And
what about Mask? You're a big fan of
Mask. So there's four. Or maybe.
I like how your cartoon religion is expanding. Yeah, nice.
Well, you know, I'm always open to new ideas. but maybe Thundercats is the substitute. You know,
Thundercats,
the designated hitter. Thank you.
I only ask because I remember maybe it was 94 when both Thundercats and Voltron came onto Cartoon Network at the same time, and it was a huge thing, and I was really excited about it. Only to be incredibly disappointed because of the terrible voice acting.
Yeah.
I can't watch Thundercats anymore because, especially Panthro, he's like the most stereotypical black voice actor ever. I mean, it's like, I can't watch it.
Well, I haven't put it in yet, and I've kind of read some of the same things on with reviews of the stuff. I think I picked it up mostly because I love to buy my childhood, and it's buying nostalgia. So, you know, I may not like it. Because you know, it's a huge difference between watching it when you're in fourth grade and watching it when you're a grown man.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm still jealous that you have it.
Oh, are you?
I just couldn't watch it.
Well, I mean, it was only like $27. So, I mean, you really can't go wrong. And it actually wasn't the new one. It was the first two parts of the first season. They were on sale and the new one was whatever. But, wow. Compelling, compelling audio right here. Please, don't stop this. Keep listening. So, yeah, I think that's all I really have to cover here. About what happened the past week, which is pretty sad considering it's Charlie and Chocolate Factory and Thundercats. But I'm kind of tapped out here. So let's quickly move into what's coming up on the show. We've got some great things. In just a few minutes, we're going to find out if we'll be adding one more member to the growing Scope family. It'll be really interesting. We'll have a little Q&A, a little quiz going with that. A little bit later, we're going to do some reviews. We're going to, as we teased in the opening, we're going to be doing the Flaming Lips as well as the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. And I think we're going to follow up on our random review of the week, which was the opus that was and is Hope and Faith.
Stunning.
And before we get going, since we do have a lot to cover, I just want to tease something that will be coming up in the next show in 2 weeks. Adam, this is going to be a surprise to you, but we have a huge celebrity interview coming up. Listen for the music. Yes. In celebration of Mission Impossible 3 opening the first week in May, I think, big summer blockbuster season kicks off. We are going to be interviewing a star from that movie, Adam.
Wow.
You may not be a part of it, but I'm working on my angles. It's going to be fantastic.
We're not releasing the name of said star
yet?
Okay.
No. But the last name rhymes with blues.
Ah.
Wow, you don't seem excited.
I'm excited to.
It also rhymes with lose, incidentally.
It does.
This totally real and not spliced together interview. I can't wait to hear.
Come
it.
Come on, man.
You don't think he would do a small show like us? Yeah. Come on.
This guy he's had such a bad reputation the last few months that any publicity he can get is awesome.
Well,
so.
I didn't tell you guys. I did submit the site to Google under Scientology. So
I don't know what to make of that, but I have a feeling we'll be getting a lot of visitors at our door and a lot of spam to do with Thetan 4 and 5 and 6. Anyway, let's head into the rest of the show, but first, these messages.
Good day, sir!
Let's listen in as friends and family of the Scope talk about how the creators of the show, each in their own special way, impacted and inspired their lives.
Hello, Al Jabe here. I'm a longtime friend and cousin of Shane, one of the hosts of this so-called podcast. The two of us have vacationed together, celebrated together at my bachelor party, and I'm even the guardian of his child. In fact, we're such good buddies that when Shane was putting this mess of a show together, he was smart enough to ask his friends for help. Except the one guy who's actually had real radio show experience. Me. I mean, come on. People actually listened to me on the airwaves. I had an audience, experience, and a clue. Unlike these morons. So good luck, nerds. Have a blast chatting about computerized games, slide rules, and not kissing girls. Oh, by the way, you're listening to The Scope. What a bunch of...
Thanks for sharing. If you'd like to tell the world how The Scope has changed your life for the better, send your audio comments to comments@thescopeshow.com. Now, back to The Scope.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Scope. We are heading into the meat, the guts, the exciting part of the show. This is the part where we entertain you and make you feel all happy and shiny inside.
And for our vegan audience, that's metaphorical meat.
Yes, absolutely. So sitting across from me right now, we've got a good friend of mine, Al. Al, thank you for coming into the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you sound like you're ready to go because you have no idea what's going to be happening to you.
No clue.
Well, let's give a little history to our listeners. As you heard in the previous little bumper, Al's a good friend of mine who actually has had a radio show before. He's fairly talented. He's well-versed in music and culture and that sort of thing. But like a bad man, like the bad person I am, I did not ask Al to be a part of this initially. And for whatever reason, I feel terrible about it. But a couple weeks ago, he asked me if maybe he could be involved in the show. Is that correct, Al?
Yes, it is. I wanted to get to be a part of this creation.
Wow. You wanted to feel the magic.
Yeah, it's
you wanted to feel the roar.
Well, this is something special to be a part of.
Kind of piggybacking on the last convo with Tom Cruise, actually my radio show back on Pure Radio 887 was titled Better Than Dawson because we were up against Dawson's Creek on Wednesday nights. So
excellent.
That was the whole Katie Holmes angle.
The Tomcat connection.
Yeah.
The
Tomcat.
Tom
Don't get me started on that.
The Tom Kitten connection. Well, good. So here's the problem, Al. To be a part of the show, you have to have a certain level of geek aptitude or maybe just geekness in general. So before we allow you to participate, we are going to have to put you through the ringer and figure out if you have what it takes to be part of the show. So we're going to put you through what we call the nerd degree.
Can you tell the difference between Wookiees and Klingons? Do you still live in your parents' basement after 33 years, and you like it? Can you install Windows and Linux in a dual boot configuration without breaking a sweat? We'll find out how big of a geek you are when we give you the Nerd Degree.
Very sinister, very legalese, Al, but boy, it's going to be exciting. So let me talk you through what this is actually going to be so you're not too worried or freaked out. Got
you can see the panic on his face.
Yeah, I think he wants to punch me in the chops. But anyway, so this is actually kind of like an IQ test, if you will. There's three parts to it. We've got the first segment, which we're just going to use to get to know you a little bit. Get a barometer, if you will, to find out just where you stand in the whole nerd hierarchy. From there, we'll figure out and talk a little bit about how you grow up. I mean, were you a nerd? Were you a bully? Where did you fit in? And then finally, we're going to go on to just general nerd aptitude questions, things that will kind of be the final judger, if that's even a word, but be the final word in terms of where you're going to be in this whole nerd degree. So are you ready for this?
Okay.
And by the way, we're all going to be taking notes, and we'll have a little conference after we get all the questions out of the way.
Is there a formula for this? Like, once I answer, you're going to calculate it out? And...
It's far too complicated for you to understand.
Yeah, okay. We won't bore our listeners with
but there is one.
There is one.
It
involves... Yeah,
we'll be applying the scientific method.
It will involve fingers and toes, so, I mean, it's quite a serious thing. Anyway, so let's start with part one, getting to know you.
That sounds really dirty, by the way.
four guys in a basement. Yes. Works out great. So, getting to know you, Alf, and I know a lot of these things. These guys don't, so let's just...
And our listeners don't.
Yeah, so let's enlighten everyone. First question is, what is your current occupation?
My current occupation is middle school physical education teacher.
That is correct. Yes. So you're telling us...
One and all.
You're telling us that you're a gym teacher.
No. I do not teach gym. I teach physical education.
Wow, a little bit of attitude.
Wow.
So do you feel that a gym teacher, or I'm sorry, a physical ed teacher could be a geek? I mean, you have the occupation that is you're like the arch nemesis of every geek that's out there.
Well, sports usually isn't under the realm of geekiness usually.
Okay.
But there are elements that can, you know, lift you into that geek category.
Okay. I'll give you 5 points for that. Good answer. Okay, question two. Are you married?
Yes.
You are married. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So
I'm married to the lovely Teresa.
-3 points for that.
Wow.
Geeks aren't supposed to be married. What have you listened to the first show of the scope? That's a key question.
No, I have not.
Oh.
That's a setup. That was a setup.
Very disappointing. What type of computer do you use, Al?
I use the ever so popular Mac Mini.
Mac Mini. Guys, where do you feel about that? Is that a geeky thing, or is that just cool? What is that, using the Mac? Because I use one.
Not as much, no. I don't think so.
The Mac Mini is the, you know, the cheap geek. The one who's not going to spend the money on the top-end equipment.
Okay, that's -1 point. Yeah. Your biggest geek characteristic? Because I don't know if you have any.
Dice Simulation Baseball.
Oh, really? You have to... You have to explain
the judge
that.
Looks up there.
That's like three dings, by the way.
Yeah, give it three dings. Explain to our listener what that is.
There is a sporting gaming company called APBA, which puts out simulation baseball and I think other sporting games. And they have mathematically calculated with the shake of a dice what's going to happen in these so-called games. And I am currently playing out the 1987 season to see if the Minnesota Twins win the World Series.
just to explain, if someone doesn't understand, that's D&D with baseball.
For jocks. Yeah.
For jocks. Boy, that is really going to throw a wrench into our formula. Because,
wow.
I mean, it's role-playing, but yet it's all about sports. I don't know what to make of that. Well, you know, I think we'll give you a watch. That'll be -42 points on that. Write that down. Okay, so I have to talk to you about something that I've participated in over the past few years. For people that don't know, Al and I, we go on vacation every year. Our families go up to the North Shore, which is a area by Duluth in Minnesota, by Lake Superior. And Al has taken it upon himself to create a giant competition for the entire family to participate in. Al, you want to explain to everyone what that is and kind of give a little background of why you do that?
Well, the title of this competition is the Al-lympics. Shane finds it hilarious that I tend to put my name into anything I do, make, or say. So that is geeky. The Al-lympics is a 5-day board game competition full of trophies and ceremonies and booby prizes.
True or false, you calculate statistics for every single Olympics.
False.
No, that's true. how about like win-loss records, that sort of thing?
Oh, yes.
Yes, okay, thank you.
We have a record book.
of course. You got to keep the history of the Olympics.
Nothing important is worth doing without organizing it. That is definitely a geeky,
interesting,
you know, trend of mine.
I think we should probably take that into consideration when we do this show.
My question on the Olympics is, who has the TV rights this season?
It's the NBC affiliate out of Duluth, Minnesota.
So there's a chance Bob Costas could be there.
Possibly. Possibly.
We've thought about actually calling Eric Perkins from Perk and Play and have him come up and cover the Olympics. So this year we might call him and see if he'll
do hoping, that. We're hoping, you know, Katie Kirk's still in her contract with NBC in the morning. She can come down and...
I think the contract will be out. So anyway, Olympics, this is a big thing. Everybody gets involved.
Yes, everybody who... Who is anybody up north? So,
and you know, since I have participated in, I know that one of the key games in that is Yahtzee.
Yes, that is the I don't know, women's figure skating of Olympics, the big time showcased last event.
I've never played Yahtzee.
Oh, wow.
Like
to wow. Al is stunned. Al, what is your nickname, actually, when it comes to Yahtzee? What do they call you?
I've been given the nickname the Yahtzee Nazi.
Why is that?
Well, I take my Yahtzee pretty seriously. Obviously, I am organized as well.
We're kind of getting that.
We save...
And you have an affinity for the dice as the baseball game.
Yes, yeah, it must be a dice thing. Yeah, and, you know, we record our scorecards from various Yahtzee games.
True or false, you've never thrown away a Yahtzee scorecard?
Never since I've gotten my official new board that my wife gave me for my birthday.
What? Say,
wow.
Explain that. You've got a board for your birthday?
Basically, a wood, just a, I don't know, wood box, you know, 12 inches by 5.
Stained.
Do you have special acid-free paper printed Yahtzee cards so they don't disintegrate over time?
No.
Don't give him any ideas.
Well, I'm just, if you're interested in preserving
fireproof
Yahtzee
safe.
History. Exactly. Well, if you want to preserve Yahtzee history, I think you should, you know, put the money into the paper.
I have yet to...
Do you handle it with latex gloves?
Yeah. I have yet to throw the scores and the records on an Excel sheet yet, so we're not that hardcore.
Have you been
yet.
Thinking about that?
I have thought about it. I'll be honest with you. I have not, you know.
Have you thought about plugging? Have you thought about plugging the scores into some sort of random generator that would create artwork, something like that? You know.
Now we're getting a little bit beyond
art and dice. No,
they don't mix.
Don't mix.
So, you know, since I'm aware of your love of Yahtzee, could you please explain to the rest of the Scope members how you bundle these cards and what are the criteria for keeping them together, these individual scorecards?
Well, there is a paper clip that is once you've fulfilled the 10-card minimum, you get to use you get to file your cards in with a paper clip.
Do you get that, like a certificate then? That's like you
no,
can
not
frame
yet.
On the wall?
No. The paper clip should be enough. That should suffice.
Is it a golden paper clip?
No, just
they are colored,
multicolored paper clips. You know, pick one that goes with your personality.
Nice.
And I believe we've decided
paper clip that fits your personality.
Well, you want to have some expression change.
Yeah,
you want to have some freedom
to
show who you are.
Well, and ease of just finding
every Yahtzee player is unique.
Ease of finding your cards. You know, you find your card quickly. True. Well, I'm the blue one, or I'm the red one. And then we have...
what if you have two colors of the same? How do you resolve disputes?
There's not that many people in the 10-card minimum paperclip category.
I'm saying right now Al's in the show. I mean, a little bit... No, I'm sorry. We'll have to go through.
Yeah.
Now, a little sidebar to both Jared and Adam. It's Carrie, the wife of myself. She's been trying for years to get that 10-card minimum to get that paperclip.
She's dang close, or did she just get it last...
She either has it, or she will be getting it this summer,
She's at 10 plus or minus 1 right now, I think.
Are there any upper tiers beyond the 10?
We were getting to that,
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited. We're turning this into the Yahtzee podcast.
I don't really...
The Yahtzee cast, there we go.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
We might have to play a game of Yahtzee on the air for
it's just, is it just suburban craps? Is that...
No.
Suburban Yahtzee is, it's, okay, let's give them a quick explanation. It's, you have
five dice.
You have five dice, or die, not five dice, I don't know what that means, and you have a scorecard, so you have to roll certain combinations of these dice. So you have, like, you have to roll three times to get all your ones, three times to get all your twos, and then you have things like full house and straights and things like that.
Okay. Yahtzee
So it's craps for suburban people.
Similar, I guess.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
Yeah, I will not disagree. Anyway, so I think we were talking about Carrie's paperclip.
Yeah.
If I am nothing but a good host for this show, we will be taking pictures of that event that when it happens this August.
Put it online.
And we will put it online at thescoreshow.com for everyone.
Excellent.
We spent a lot of time on paperclips right now.
What's the highest score in Yahtzee that you've ever...
On our official
on the
official board. I believe it's the 611.
Wow.
Currently
dominating.
By yours truly, actually.
Wow.
Of course.
And I was rip-roaring drunk that night.
Yes, he was.
Utterly amazing.
It definitely is. So, okay, we're going to be done with Yahtzee now. I think we've covered it.
I think we got the wrap it up sign.
Yeah, wrap it up. Jared is getting very antsy. I think
we ran out of time.
I think at this point we probably can skip to Al growing up geek. I think that's a fair thing. So we're going to change gears a little bit, Al, and find out, you know, what you were when you were a youngster. First question.
Are we going all the way back to when he was a zygote?
I'm not going that far.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know what that means.
I just was trying to establish a scope.
Okay, so we'll say elementary school and go from there. Now, you are a physical education teacher, so that would suggest that you have some sort of athletic ability.
Prowess.
Yeah, prowess, acumen. But as a youngster, were you a bully or were you a victim? Picked on or picky?
I guess I have to pick one, though, right?
Oh, yes. You can...
Can I dodge this question slightly?
Jeff says no.
Well, I don't know.
A little bit of both? Not really? Kind of in between?
None of either. I'm kind of...
Really?
As I remember.
Kind of in between.
Headshot.
Did you have a nickname of any sort growing up?
No. You call anything? Nothing more than Big Al, which was funny because I was not an intimidating, you know, specimen. I was a pretty small guy. And then when I got to college, actually, I put on a buttload of weight and someone started calling me Little Al, actually, which was... quite ironic.
That would be ironic. So this segment of the show not going the way I thought it would. Sorry, guys. That's what happens when you don't prepare. How old were you when you first kissed a girl?
What would 7th grade be then?
Wow.
I don't know. 13?
Just a 12, little.
12 or 13?
Yeah, somewhere in there. Peck on the cheek sort of thing?
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. Sure.
Wow.
Whoa.
Stud in 7th grade. I was just getting over watching Voltron and Robotech and Thundercats, by the way. Still wishing I could watch it.
And I still haven't, so you're both way ahead.
Adam, we'll be asking you that question a little bit later. Since you're part of the show, you dodged the bullet today.
Not hot.
Finally, did you fear gym class growing up? I mean, you kind of moved into that as a profession, but did you like it when you were?
Well, obviously, yeah. I was...
It was just part of who you were.
It's what I was good at. So.
What you're good at. Do you think you could beat everybody up in this room?
No.
No.
Just
really?
Just you, Shane.
Thanks.
I would say Shane is the only guarantee, and then it'd be a good fight on the other two, I think.
Wow. Well, I'm going to give you minus 18 points.
Shane goes straight for the Jimmy.
Not like watch out. I kick at the privates. Okay, since that segment was a complete failure, let's go on to the final and possibly most important segment of the show, of this the Nerd Degree. It's your nerd knowledge. Are you? Yeah, thank you. So I've got a few questions here. You just need to answer them as truthfully and as honestly as possible.
I'm ready to disappoint.
Jared, do we have any music that would be akin to a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or some sort of background music?
You know, I completely forgot about that part.
Well, we're going to play.
Sorry.
We're really going to jazz this up right now. Okay. Question number one, Al. ColecoVision, Intellivision, or Atari 2600 Vision?
Television.
Intellivision. You like that. Thank you. So let me ask you kind of a side story here. Could you tell everybody about the great Xbox debacle of 2004?
It hurts too much. Yeah.
It hurts too much. I'm going to tell everybody. It's a kind of a parallel story to the scope. I don't know if I've told Jared and Adam this story, but...
I've heard bits.
Bits. So, okay, here's the deal. I had a little problem with my Xbox in 2004. That's why it's called the debacle of 2004, in which the internet part of it went out. So I could not dial out and play with all my fellow geeks online. So I needed to get rid of it and repurchase another one, much to the chagrin of my wife, who hates video games and hates me playing them. But since she loves me so much, she lets me do what I want. Anyway, I had to get rid of the Xbox, and I was thinking about the people I could give it to or sell it to for a discounted price, and... Just like inviting people to be in the scope, Al was the last person that I thought of.
I believe I found out like 2 months after it was actually given away. So.
Oh, wow. It went to someone that nobody would have expected. I think it was one of Carrie's workmates who I met
someone
a few times.
I can't remember.
Yeah, that Al probably could beat up just because he's a similar frame to me. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Al has never let me forget that, and it's been kind of a sad and unfortunate time. Sorry, Al.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get back to the questions.
He's broken up, you can see.
Let's get back to the questions. Doctor Who, Doctor House, or Doctor Phil?
Jeepers. Don't watch any of them.
Jeepers. Wow, none of them. Best William Shatner.
What would be the right answer there?
Doctor House?
Doctor House, I would
guess
give
I've
best
caught
answer.
That. If you're talking geek quiz, Doctor Who.
Doctor Who? Wow. I guess we have an internal battle on that. Let's move on to the next one that everyone will have an answer for. Best William Shatner, Star Trek William Shatner, T.J. Hooker William Shatner, or Boston Legal Fat William Shatner?
Well, I must not be geeky enough because I don't watch any of those. Wow. I would say, what's the little What's the little prompt or the graduation speech you gave? That's about all I'm familiar with. William Shatner.
I don't know what you're talking
about. What about the Priceline William Shatner?
Priceline William Shatner?
No.
None of them.
Rescue 911 William Shatner?
That would,
yeah.
That would have
yeah.
been
yeah. That would make good. Yeah, the correct answer actually is all William Shatner, because William Shatner is a...
Or the right answer is none.
Or none, which right. Al kind of said, so yeah. So he's there. Al, are you a He-Man or a Man-at-Arms?
I actually liked He-Man.
Very good. That's correct. Name any Peter Jackson movie that isn't Lord of the Rings or King Kong.
Crickets. I don't know.
Jared, could you name a few for me?
Your favorite movie, Dead Alive, where the
priest
walks around with the lawnmower and uses it as a weapon to chop up zombies or something. And a movie that I like, I don't know if you did, probably not, but The Frighteners.
Do you like that
Which
movie,
I
Adam?
I think was kind of underrated.
I like The Frighteners a lot, yes.
There you go, see? Michael J. Fox, it was kind of his sort of comeback there. He hadn't seen him in a long time, and then, you know, he did that, and I think Spin City afterwards.
Do you recall that movie, The Frighteners, Al?
No.
Give him a buzzer, please. Who are you sadder when they died, Bones or Scotty?
I'm lost.
Wow.
I'm losing now.
Why are you keeping score? Because he's not doing very well.
I can't. I've run out of ink. What does RPG stand for?
RPG.
There are two correct answers for this.
Well, there are?
So I'm going to go some rotations per... No? Wow.
Adam, could you give me the correct answer?
Well, the one that you were looking for is probably a role-playing game.
Yeah, that's
but,
one.
Oh,
thank you. Rocket, 5 points for Adam.
Which I should
rocket
know,
propelled
obviously.
Grenade would have also...
He's exactly right.
Wow. Give him two beams. For okay, and the final question before we get together in our conclave... See whether the white smoke or the black smoke goes up. Have you ever reached sexual climax while programming computer?
I've never done either. So.
Wow. I'm going to give you 6 points for that. Yeah. Because that's just creepy and gross. Yeah. Well, mercifully, I think we've made it through the segment. As I said, Jared, Adam, and I have to get together and figure out whether Al's going to be a part of this show. Hit that button. So we're going to need a little time to deliberate. So we'll be right back with the Scope Song of the Week, and after that, our results for the Nerd Degree. Thank you.
This is the Oprah Winfrey Celebrity Shoutout of the Day.
Sarah Jessica Parker!
That was the Oprah Winfrey Celebrity Shoutout of the Day. You go, girl. It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
From the top of the IDS Tower, it's 62 degrees and sunny. More hit music coming your way. This is Satisfaction with Nothing, Oh Nothing, right here on the Scope.
Nothing, I'm done feeling nothing, so count me in, for pain and for suffering. Nothing, done feeling nothing, so count me in, for pain and for suffering. So I'm ready for anything. So
feeling nothing.
And we are back, Three Geeks on the Internet. We're back from deliberation for the Nerd Degree. This is the time when we find out whether Al will be participating in the show or we kick him to the curb. He's sitting there, fingers crossed. He's very excited. He's scared that he might have brought the show down a little bit. Al, do you have any final words you want to say to us before we make our final statement?
Like I said, I thought I started out strong, very geeky qualities, and then you guys lost me on that TV and sci-fi and
the whole
computer stuff.
The heart that is the scope, you've completely lost.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is go around the room to the three hosts of the show and get their opinions, a la American Idol. So let's start with the... Jared, I don't want you to be the Randy Jackson of the group, but we'll just start with you. Go ahead. What do you feel?
You know, I've been saying every day that you just need to come out and show the audience who you are, and man, that was the bomb. You showed them out there.
And
no, I think, like Al said, there was a little rough towards the end there, but I think the Al Olympics and the Yahtzee is probably going to be enough to put him over the top.
Okay.
We'll see what America says.
And moving on to the Paul Abdul of the group, Adam.
Great.
you drunk?
Al slipped me a 20, so I say yes.
Is that the only thing he slipped you?
Yes.
Okay. I guess that leaves me the harshest critic of the group. I'm looking at Al. I've known him for a long time, and my decision comes on only one particular bit of information he gave me, which is I'm the only person he could beat up in the group. So saying that, let's find out. With a scope score of 422 points, Al has been accepted to be on the show. Thank you, Al.
How does it feel? How does it feel to be a champion?
Today, I consider myself
pretty nerdy.
Well, I think we're going to be covering a lot of the baseball dice game, a lot of Yahtzee, and...
One can only hope.
We're going to keep you away from any Doctor Who.
Maybe I'll start blogging my baseball games, and you guys can keep up.
Yeah, we'll provide a link right on our site, right to your baseball blogging dice site.
It'd be some pretty compelling blog.
So what we didn't get into too much, or we covered kind of briefly, is that Al's kind of the music, one of the music experts out there, at least the people that I know. So we're going to have him on the show from time to time, covering some music. Taking a little bit of the onus off of us to review those bands, and we'll just get him in here on that and see how it goes. So, we're way behind schedule, so I think we need to jump right into being under the scope.
Under the scope.
All right, so this is the time when we cover anything that is important to us geeks. So we're doing news, we're doing reviews, we're adding a new segment called Coming Soon. But first, let's check out the latest in Scope News.
Under the Scope News.
Adam, start us off. I hear we got three stories, and the segment is yours.
Great. much like last week's uplifting bit, we can start off this week with the accused Columbine-style plot that was uncovered in Kansas earlier this week on 420, which is, among other things, the big pot smoker day.
It is.
And Hitler's birthday and the anniversary of Columbine, and it's just kind of a confluence of great things.
Right. It's kind of strange when you think about it that the big pot smoker day is also Columbine and Hitler's birthday anniversary.
It's a fantastic day.
Yeah.
Take it off the calendar.
It's much like the 13th floor in some hotels.
So,
I guess there was a plot that was uncovered partly due to someone posting on MySpace about five teenagers in a high school that had intended to go on a shooting spree, much like Columbine, kind of tearing up their high school. And, I mean, I'm kind of conflicted on it because there's so many different facts that are coming out right now. We're just being told that they found guns in one of the boys' homes, but it's like, we don't know that they were his guns. Yeah. And
it could have been hunting rifles.
Exactly.
Could have been antiques.
And, I mean, it's like, it's rural Kansas. So
yeah.
You have to
exactly. If you need guns to live, I mean, you have to hunt your dinner. There are no supermarkets. I don't know if you know that.
Wow.
It's a very agrarian society.
No Piggly Wigglies.
No, I mean, we're from the city and we see the Cub Foods and the big buildings, and we take it for granted.
The multi-story buildings.
We don't realize that there are rural people out there who don't know anything.
Guys,
they have MySpace. They have MySpace, but they don't have the corner market. So
they have outhouses.
I mean, they do. An internet connection.
So, Al, I have to ask you this question. By the way, everyone, Al's sitting in on the news and the whole under the scope bit. I mean, you are a teacher, so what type of response do you get at your school? I mean, do they talk about this kind of thing? I know it's middle school, so maybe not quite as crazy, but I mean, is this something that they go through with the teachers and the staff? I mean, do you have to be on the lookout for this type of business?
I don't want to speak for my school exactly, but I know they talk about whether or not even to bring it up, and they've had discussions on, do you even keep bringing this issue up at school every year? Do we need to keep reminding it or beating it down their throats? So
is it the idea that we don't want to give the kids any ideas, or we just don't want to focus on the negativity?
Well, yeah, don't want to give them ideas. Maybe don't want to glorify this act a little bit. So
do they ever talk to them and maybe try to convince them not to to pick on people as much? Because that always seems to be like the root cause of this, is that whoever is plotting to do this has just been torn to pieces by other people in the school.
I would say bullying curriculum, or I'm definitely guessing. I would say bullying curriculum around, at least our state of Minnesota here has gone up, tenfold since the Red Lake shootings up in Red Lake, Minnesota. So I think that's definitely been a point of emphasis in school systems. Like I said, the last year now, especially since the Red Lake thing happened.
And how do you deal with bullying when you see it? I'm curious. I mean, do you put the smack down? Is it no tolerance?
It's no tolerance.
Yeah.
If you see it, you send them up, and then that's a consequence. Yep.
Good day, sir.
Yeah.
That's what's said. Okay, well,
there's a couple things about this story that kind of got me annoyed, and it was mainly from the MSNBC.com portrayal of it. First of all, they had a headline, and I'll read the headline for you. Schoolmates react to alleged MySpace shooting plot. Now, to me, that just smacks of, let's put MySpace in the link so that people click through. It's kind of a key point, but it's not. The headline makes it sound like they were trying to shoot MySpace or something. I don't know. It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah,
and the only reason it's there is because MySpace has been in the headlines lately, and it's going to be something that draws attention. That's the only reason it's there.
Little known fact: MySpace created by Satan.
I kind of feel bad for MySpace now, because now they're known for sexual predators and kids that want to shoot up their high school.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Yeah. And a couple indie bands posting there. Yeah.
And the other thing that they mentioned in the article is that they specifically say, or they quote authorities as saying, that the kids were into violent video games.
Oh yes.
As if that is going to cause them to go on this shooting rampage. I mean, because I can remember back when I was in high school, right? I had this Yars Revenge addiction, and I'd just, little guys flying around shooting things, and I wanted to hurt people badly.
Blow them away.
The thing about the video games, I also had a Super Mario Brothers addiction, and that pretty much kept me at home.
That was your balancing.
So I would say video games probably were helpful in keeping me from hurting anyone.
The biggest problem with this revelation that they were into violent video games, supposedly, is that now every time we turn on CNN and they're talking about this, they'll show clips from Quake 1.
Yeah. Unreal!
Mortal Kombat.
Right.
People haven't played this game in 15 years.
Finish it.
Maybe that's good, because if they saw the quality of the games now and how more realistic they look, and that might disturb people more. I don't know.
Maybe
they're better off showing old pixelated games that don't quite represent real
Every games. Game would be like, find the Ten Commandments,
One of, other than those things, which, obviously annoyed me also, one thing that's bugging me is that they wanted to use 420 as the date. I kind of get tired of every September 11th people bringing up how they're scared that, there's going to be another terrorist attack.
It's
what people are so dumb that they do the exact same thing on the exact same day when if they're trying to prove a point. It's like the point of terrorism would be not to do it on the same day, or otherwise there's just a single day all year that you're scared.
Yeah, you try to do it when it's not expected.
Yeah. So when kids do this and they keep wanting to do it on April 20th, it kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, I mean, because I have 2 days on the calendar where I put on my Kevlar underwear just to be safe.
We've now joined How to Terrorize with Adam and Jared.
And there's 363 other days of the year where I'm unprotected, and if you really wanted to do some damage, those would be the days to strike.
Well, there you
exactly.
go. Thank you, Jared.
Thanks.
Thanks for giving tips to Al-Qaeda. Okay, moving on.
now, worldly political news.
Ooh, exciting.
There's a...
We're not just about video games and Doctor Who, Al.
Right.
We'll see. We're very cultured.
We'll get back into that shortly.
It got pretty serious there.
Well, I know. Well, we like
it
to mix
the
it up
intent, a little bit.
Sometimes you got to face the world.
So there's this news story about how Iran's leader, their president, I'll pull a George Bush here and not pronounce his name correctly.
Oh, no.
So I just won't, actually. How about that? No, I guess it's their finance minister anyway, so I can
nobody knows what that is.
Right, yeah, exactly. Saying that he thinks that the rise in oil prices has been very good, which kind of isn't that big of a news story in itself when, you know, you look at inflation over, you know, since the 70s and oil prices since then, it's kind of under. And but I guess most of OPEC is against it going up anyway. So, you know, one member of it isn't that big of a deal.
Here's the thing is if it keeps going up, people eventually are going to go, hey, we need to figure out how to power things in a different way.
Right.
You know, and granted, that might take 10, 15, 20 years, but at some point, they're going to figure that out. They're going to, you know, we'll have hydrogen stations on every corner or whatever. And then suddenly these OPEC nations will be like, huh, now we don't have a market.
Right. I mean, if you think about it, like, you know, I guess ever since 2000, they've been, you know, at least at $2 and above. And I think that if that hadn't happened, we probably wouldn't have, you know, even if the hybrids we have today aren't spectacular, you know, there's at least a dozen different hybrid models out there from, you know, there's like a couple Ford ones and a couple Honda ones. So that's all. I think that if we were still at $1 a gallon, I don't think that we'd have those. There'd be no demand for them.
Progress being made.
So, but in relation to the Iran thing, I kind of came to a realization this week. And yeah, this is going to be another sort of serious thing, I guess. But
Jared rants.
But I started to realize that they actually do hate us. And I started to realize the reasons why. And they're legitimate reasons. I mean, I was watching, you know, a special on the History Channel because I'm a history geek. And
add that to the long list.
There's a couple of key points on. First of all, there's the whole fact that we financially backed Saddam Hussein in Iraq in their big Iran-Iraq war. You know, so much as, you know, giving him the money to buy chemical weapons that he used on them, and then us, our armed forces specifically attacking their, you know, their navy and wiping it out for the most part. So it's probably a little bad blood there. And then It even goes back to like the 50s, I think, when we basically put in a Shah that was supported by the U.S. government, was basically our yes man. And there's resentment over that as well. And and that was when we first sold them nuclear technology, which they, of course, are now exploiting.
Very good.
So,
is there a Star Wars connection to this? Because
there's no Star Wars connection.
No Chewbacca?
I'm not sure if you wanted the funny. I'm just sometimes you got to keep it real.
Do a simulation dice war somehow out of this?
Al's already writing up the rules.
Yeah, maybe there's something. Cards. Can we go down to something a little more light?
Yeah.
How about?
Oh, beautiful segue.
There's a, you know, I'm not a big Star Trek fan. At all. I don't even like it, actually. I'll come out and just
wow.
say that. Yeah.
Off the
that's
show.
About as small that's about as small a Star Trek fan as you could be.
Right. But this is kind of a cool story. J.J. Abrams, the director of the soon-to-be-released Mission Impossible 3 that we were talking about. And,
yes.
of course, the...
big interview coming up next week.
Right. And, of course, also the creator of Felicity, amongst other shows I don't really know of, but Felicity in particular. He's going to direct. Is he going to write it too? No.
Yes, he will be directing and writing the show.
Look at that.
And producing.
The next...
He might even do the score.
And act. He'll be Kirk.
The
guest star.
The next...
And I think craft services too.
Well, of course, I mean, he has his own company for that, so that's good. For the next Star Trek movie, which should come out around 2008. Also, something neat about this is that the two main producers on Lost are also going to be producers on this. So. Now, like I said, I'm not a huge Star Trek fan of, you know, any variety, Scott Bakula or otherwise.
Wow. Snap.
But I know that you guys probably are because you're nerds.
But would you give this show a chance or this movie a chance since it is the Lost team and you're a big fan of Lost? And I think you like Alias, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, 2008, a lot of stuff can happen.
A lot can change.
Any mention of what the proposed storyline would be?
Probably, but that would require me to read this.
Oh.
Ouch. It's the...
I tried to make it feel natural, but no. No.
Thwarted. It's the early days of Spock and Kirk, Adam. Can you confirm or deny that?
I can confirm that.
Wow, very good. Very good.
Yes.
Could be interesting. I guess it all comes down to casting. I mean, those are going to be some tough roles to cast. You got to be perfect. You know, you got to find the right person who probably looks and acts like a young William Shatner or a young Leonard Nimoy. Without being a caricature or a parody of them.
And there you go.
That's the key.
Al, you're a huge Star Trek fan. What's your opinion on this? I mean, you love William Shatner from all eras.
Crickets.
Crickets, nothing. Crickets.
You get nothing.
Thank you, Gene Wilder, saving the day once again. So, Adam, does that wrap up our news segment?
Yep, that's it.
That's it. So,
take it away, soundbite.
Let's move on to the reviews, shall we?
Under the Scope Reviews.
So today we've got three reviews. Two music, one random review. We're following up from last week and the soon-to-be Hope and Faith debacle, but I think we really got to hit the music side of the things first with the Flaming Lips. Adam, take it away.
I don't get a sound intro for that. Right. Okay, so the latest Flaming Lips album, At War with the Mystics, came out, I think, two Tuesdays ago, actually.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
And it's more, you know, they say it's more guitar rocky than their last one, Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots. And I guess I agree with that. It's a kind of a mix. And I think that if you like the Flaming Lips already, you'll probably like this album. But if you don't, it's not going to change anyone's mind. The Flaming Lips are always, you know, the kind of, you know, what alternative music I think was originally in the 80s, where it's actually, you know, a different kind of way to make, you know, maybe standard rock and roll. And it's kind of, you know, strange, I guess, and the way that they build their songs are completely unconventional. So, but I liked it. And I know that we were going to play a couple clips from it. The first one, I think, is from Mr. Ambulance Driver. Mr. Ambulance Driver. this is kind of weird. One of the things I've always liked about the Lips is that even their kind of mellower songs, they always have you know, like a good drum beat to them, and just something that you know kind of catches you. But I think the other clip that we have is from what's probably their first single. I haven't heard them. Oh no,
it's on the radio right now, actually.
Yep. And it's actually the first track on the album, and it's called the Yeah 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 song. So we cannot know ourselves or what we really do. With all your power, with all your power, with all your power, what would you do? I think if like I said, if you've been a fan of the Lips, you'll probably hear a lot of pre-Yoshimi-ness to that last one, if you check it out. Shane, so what did you think of the album?
I actually agree with you quite a bit on it. I'm not a long-standing Flaming Lips fan. I guess I learned about them back... boy, they had a song on like one of the Batman movies, actually. What was that called?
Oh, man, it was even on the...
was that?
The documentary I just saw. But yeah, it was the
was
the
that
one
the
with
Vaseline?
The
is that that's not Vaseline? No, it's like green jelly or something.
She don't use jelly.
No, it was about killing your boss.
Okay, yeah, and then their other big hit was Vaseline.
Yeah, that's the one I remember.
Yeah, which yeah, it's kind of the standard for them. That's the one song you're going to hear on alternative rock when you hear the Lips beyond.
Ben Folds does a great cover of that.
Oh, like to hear that sometime. But yeah, so my knowledge of them goes back to Yoshimi, and which really was a fantastic album. I think quasi conceptual. But at the same time, pretty accessible to a guy like me. And I'm kind of the guy that likes the pop, alternative pop type of music. You know, a good melody, good harmony, something that flows. And I think that the new Lips album is pretty much in that realm. Kind of Yoshimi-ish, but shades of older stuff. But I think if you're not really going to be into these guys, if you haven't liked them in the past, this album really isn't going to be for you. I liked there's about four tracks on the album, but that I really got into. It was Ambulance Driver, the Yeah 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 song, and Wand, or WAND. I don't know what that would be called, but that's what it is. And I'm going to point out they get the award for the longest nonsensical song title that I've seen in a long time, and it is entitled My Cosmic Autumn Rebellion, The Inner Life of Blazing as Blazing Shield of Defiance and Optimism as Celestial Spear of Action, which I don't believe appears in the song.
But, action.
But yeah, I like the album, at least parts of it, quite a bit. So, Jared. It's
utterly amazing.
Thank you. Jared, did you like anything about it? Do you want to talk about it?
You know, for the most part, I did. What I really like is that they have a lot of layers in their arrangements, a lot of different instruments, and they use the stereo. Ooh, I'm hitting my microphone. They use the stereo sound field really well. And coming from a music production background, that I can appreciate that. Yeah, and I think I agree with you, is that if you're not a fan of the Flaming Lips at this point, you're probably not going to care about this one. I mean, it's interesting to listen to, but, you know, and it's a good album, and I liked it. And I guess I kind of judge a song or an album based upon how quickly something gets in my head, and I know that the Yeah, Yeah, Yeah song we just heard a little bit of has been in my head for a couple days now, so that's probably a good sign. So I'd say it's a good album.
Okay, well, Al, I don't think you've heard the album, so...
Not yet.
We're not going to bug you.
Sounded enticing, though.
But you'll be on it?
Yep.
So let's, without further ado, let's check out what the Scope score is for this album.
The Scope score is 3 stars.
So above average review,
yeah.
Above average score.
I'd like to thank Tony Partington for his help on
that. Thank you, host or announcer Tony. And as all of our reviews will be, we will have all this information up on our website, thescopeshow.com, at some point soon, coming to a website near you. Second review of the day goes to the new album by the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Correct, Adam?
That's right. The latest album from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs is Show Your Bones. It's a follow-up to their album from 2003, which was called A Fever to Fever to Tell, which I didn't really like that much. I was kind of underwhelmed by it. I know, like, a lot of people, you know, there's, I guess, a lot of indie buzz about them before it came out. They were, you know, a big New York band, kind of similar to what was happening with the Strokes before they came out.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not on the same level, because, you know, they were deemed the band that's going to save rock and roll. But still a lot of buzz coming from them, and I didn't really find it all that enjoyable. Just kind of bland. I mean, a couple songs here and there that I liked, but this one I really enjoy, and I've read reviews, and they're either really high or really low, which is probably, you know, going to foreshadow what we're going to see here, but there's maybe 2 songs on the album I don't care for, and the others I'm really, really high on. They're great. So I think we're going to listen to a little clip from one of the tracks. I think it's the first single from the album, Gold Lion. That's, I think probably half the album is kind of up-tempo, a lot of yelling, very loud. I mean, some of the other songs are kind of more poppy. I don't think we're going to play any clips from them, but the two that I'm really into are Honey Bear and Turn Into. Honey Bear is kind of like almost disco-y rock. It's kind of hard to explain. But on the other side, there's, you know, kind of some more mellow, slow songs. I think we're going to play a clip from Cheated Hearts. Cheated by the opposite of love, held on high from up above, above, kept my high from the second one, kept my eye on the first one. Now take these rings, stole them safely, I'll wear them on another rainy day. Take these rings, stole them safely, I'll wear them on another rainy day. Take these rings. See, I told you, it's really mellow. So what do you guys think?
Well, I'd have to say I kind of agree with your sentiment on the first album. Maps was about the only standout track on it. The rest of them I found kind of boring. I like more tracks on this new album, but overall I still kind of found it boring. First of all, I'll talk about the production values of the album. I like the fact that it's not overproduced. There's still a nice edge to it, but it's different than the last album. The last album, they had a really live sound, a really big, roomy drum sound, and they kind of toned that back in this one. And it's kind of a nice change, I guess. They do some interesting stuff with song structures. They don't necessarily hit the standard verse, chorus, verse, pop song structure. They'll put in little instrumental chunks in between those sections, which gives you a little more interest. One thing I'd kind of say is that the whole thing works better as an album. You can listen to it from beginning to end in track order, and there's a better flow to it. You know, the dynamics feel better. If you just picked an individual song out and tried to listen to it, I don't think they stand up as well on their own. And one of the things that kind of bothers me within their songs, even though I just talked about how I like their structures, is they'll take certain musical or vocal elements and they'll just kind of repeat them over and over again, and that's part of their style. I know that, but it kind of got grating on me. So overall, not my favorite album. I don't think I'll be going back to it that often. I don't know that I would skip past tracks if they came up on some sort of random situation, but probably not going to drop it in the car or CD player for a long trip to work or something like that.
Well, I'll chime in and talk a little bit about Maps. You know, that was one of my favorite songs a few years back. I really liked it, and I was kind of expecting the Yeah Yeah Yeahs to kind of have another one of those songs on this album, and it really wasn't there, which, you know, I guess maybe that's the reason it's not there, is that's not really their style, as Jared pointed out. But you know, as he said, there are a few good tracks in here, and the album does play well when you listen to it from front to back. But you know, I'm kind of in between the opinions of Adam and the opinions of Jared. There are a few tracks in here that I would definitely listen to. I'd throw it on the iPod and listen to it repeatedly. But there are a number of songs in here that I really wouldn't listen to. It's not my style. A little too edgy, a little too repetitive, and not quite as dynamic. Maybe not as poppy as I like. But overall, kind of a middle of the road album. So yeah, should we throw out the score and see what we give it?
The Scope score is 2 stars.
So very middle of the road score.
Exactly.
I'll get you a Barry Manilow album for if you don't want anything edgy.
Well, I am a big fan of Mandy, well, so everyone knows that. I think that will conclude our musical portion of the reviews, and we're going to follow up on a segment we started last week called the Random Review of the Week.
Get ready for the Random Review of the Week. It could be appalling, it could be incredible, but it's always unpredictable. The Random Review of the Week.
So for all of yous out there with a short memory, The television show that came up in our randomizer was ABC's Hope and Faith, starring Faith Ford and TV's Regis Philbin's what's her face? Ripa, Kelly Ripa. So we all found time in the past couple of weeks to watch an episode, and this is what we took out of it. Or give us a little summary what it was about anyway.
Oh, okay.
First, before we get into it.
Episode was titled Charlie Shoots Faith. Which is supposed to be funny, because right. If we can get the laugh track going for me right now, I'd appreciate it.
Every time. Not liked.
Clearly, our reaction as we were watching the show. So in it, Faith's agent suggests that she get some new headshots, and as usual, she misinterprets. And exactly. So Charlie, who earlier in the episode feels guilty for yelling at Faith, offers to take the headshots for her. And they actually turn out to be a success, or so I'm told. I didn't watch the last 5 minutes. So Charlie considers a change in career while Faith decides to give up on her acting career. And there you go.
Stunning.
Do we have any sound clips from this?
Yeah, we do.
Let's play some.
Right, we've got, let's just play the first one and not intro.
This is right from the beginning of the show.
Yep.
Hey! I was learning how to make a piano bench out of pure driftwood.
Okay, here's the thing. We don't have a piano, and we live 4 states from the nearest ocean.
Let me guess. There is an important program on involving some sort of ball, resulting in some sort of score.
So right off the bat, writer's setting the bar high.
Yeah, I think I heard that same joke in Arrested Development, by the way.
And I have to say, the music in this show is atrocious.
I like that right off the bat. They're like, let's get six cliches in on the jokes and get the laugh track.
Let's see, the woman's watching a craft show and the man wants to watch sports.
Oh my goodness.
Never happens in real life.
The guy
that
there,
is my life, actually.
The guy there, by the way, is the same actor that played Jefferson, Marcy's second husband in Married with Children, which is probably the only glowing spot for the entire show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's Ted McGlinley, and he's kind of known for getting on television shows that maybe have run their course, you know, the Jump Your Shark theory. I mean, he came into Happy Days. That was his first big acting career move in like 84, 85, right at the tail end. And, you know,
Look at you, Mr. Ted McGlinley, wow, historian.
He was taking the place of Richie Cunningham. That was kind of his role. And then he also, you know, he jumped into Married with Children, which some people might say he made the show better when he came in there. And you can agree to disagree, or everyone can agree.
So do you think if Arrested Development would have hit like season six, he'd have been their lawyer?
I think
they would have worked their way to him sometime.
They totally should have had him in that show. And he also was in...
Well, they would have had to gone through a couple of other Happy Days cast-offs first, and then they would have gotten to him.
Joni,
yeah.
Aaron Moran. But he also popped into The West Wing, kind of as they started to decline. And, you know, the theory was, here's poor Ted just dragging them down to the depths of the Titanic.
And he left, and now the show's better for it.
Yeah.
Because it's actually been stunning this year.
Exactly.
But anyway, that's off topic.
And then, you know, continuing in the tradition of completely destroying shows, he started with Hope and Faith from the very beginning. And it's been bad, and it will stay bad.
But yet it's on its, like, third season.
Exactly.
Go figure.
So what else do we have for sound clips? What's next?
Can I come in?
If you could do that without being here.
Look, I'm sorry about what I said about your acting career. I was harsh, and I feel bad.
Bad enough to pay for my new headshots?
No, but I'll adjust my place at the dinner table so you're not straddling the post.
First of all, I picked that spot on purpose.
Randy.
I have to say that while watching the show, I was the very picture of stoicism. Just stone-faced. Nothing could get me to laugh.
I didn't even get that punchline. Like, I think
because it isn't a punchline. Okay.
I was thinking the show might be too highbrow for me.
So, you might have to think a little too much. There might be too many jokes coming at you.
Yes. Well, for me, I did have a highlight of the show, and I believe that was the Chase credit card Amazon commercial that took place in between the actual show. That was the best part for me.
I think I was watching it, and in going back to the sports thing, he's trying to watch, Ted McGinley wants to watch this Cavaliers game that he's taped. And I hear the TiVo sounds on there, and all I can think of is like, I really wish I could be fast-forwarding through it as well. I wish my TiVo could make those noises.
I kind of felt bad. I felt bad for Ted. You know, watching him in that show, I felt like he wished he could be anywhere but in that particular moment in that particular time.
That's kind of how it was. You could see the pain on his face. He was forced to be in this TV sitcom family with the stereotypical children, you know, with the rebellious teen, the nerdy young sibling, and then the smart-ass young kid. Yep. I mean, it had to be painful, but it's a paycheck, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's highway robbery getting paid for that.
Yeah.
So, final clip for the show?
Yeah, that's great. Listen, any interest in Preparation for the Serious Actor by Scott Baio? No, thanks.
That's about how much interest I have in watching the show again.
Yeah. The setup for that clip is that Faith, the crazy actress, likes to get her inspiration from a book written by Scott Baio, who gives acting tips, which, you know, kind of shows the crazy pop culture sensibilities of the writing staff of
this
show.
Please. The writing staff, this is my take on it. The whole thing felt like a vaudeville act. Like, they needed to have rim shots after each one of them. You know, and then some guy going, "Hey!"
Wow.
That's just what it felt like.
To me, the show felt like vomit. That's what it felt like.
I couldn't finish it, so that kind of speaks to it. I've had 2 weeks to finish it, and I still can't.
So, there's better things to do in life, I think.
So the show's getting 4-star review from the Scope?
Negative. Let's throw it over to Tony and find out what the score is.
The Scope score is 1/4 star.
So
rescued from the depths of zero simply because Ted McGinley's working. And even if he destroys a show, I still like to see him.
Well,
working.
I thought we don't have a 0-star, right? Or do we?
We do.
We
have to save it for the absolute worst.
Okay.
Yes. Maybe like a sitcom about Al-Qaeda or something like that.
Oh, no.
or
that episode without Ted on it.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No Ted. He's off plotting assisted suicide or something like that because he's on this terrible show.
Wow.
So anyway, by the way, I was given criticism by one of our fans that I said "so anyway" too much. So please correct me when I do that. Thank you.
Taser.
Taser right in the neck. I think that to continue the random review, we need to select a show for next week.
Yes, we do.
So fire up the randomizer, Jared, and let's find out what fantastic show we'll be watching this week. Spin the wheel.
It's spinning around, it's spinning around, it's spinning around.
And we wait.
Oh, we've got Criminal Minds, CBS, Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central.
Who is it? Is that Mandy Patinkin?
Yes, it could be. This one could be okay. Who knows?
Let's write this down.
I actually watched this while, just so you know how exciting my business trip to San Francisco and LA was, I watched this last week while in San Francisco.
So he's got a leg up on us because I've never seen it.
The whole time I was like, that looks like Mandy Patinkin. And I stayed until the credits, and sure enough, it was Mandy.
Did he break into any Broadway songs or anything like that, singing while he's solving forensic crimes?
There were no references to Six-Fingered Men.
Did he ever say,
father?
I am not left-handed?
No.
I know something you do not know. That was my terrible Mandy Patinkin.
Very, very good. Anyway, I think that there's our anyway right there. Let's wrap up the under the scope review section and then move into our brand new bit entitled Coming Soon.
Under the scope. Coming soon.
Nice. Adam, give us a quick rundown of what's coming up in the next 2 weeks.
All right. A lot of cool things coming out. A lot of not so cool things coming out, too. The Streets' latest album is going to be coming out on Tuesday, this Tuesday.
Streeting.
The follow-up to A Grand Don't Come for Free, which I really liked. It was one of my favorite British rap albums. There's a genre, I'm forgetting the name, from last year. But I'm kind of hearing mixed things about this one, so not getting too excited for it. The Goo Goo Dolls' latest album.
Ooh,
maybe we'll have a review.
Al, could you tell us one of your favorite Goo Goo Dolls songs?
I'd have to go with Iris.
Iris, classic.
there
we go.
1/4 star, by the way.
May 2nd, the new Pearl Jam album, which is getting a lot of good buzz, is going to be coming out. So I'm excited to hear that. Also, the latest Tool album. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that Al is a huge Pearl Jam fan, and I'd say it's very likely that we may have a Pearl Jam song in one of his upcoming segments.
Yeah, and I think Pearl Jam is touring with possibly Tom Petty, which is interesting pairing.
Hmm. Wow.
Petty
that,
and the
that
Pearl.
Is interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting fact, most people don't know. Eddie Vedder's real name, Edward Mueller. I don't know if everyone knew that.
Now we know.
Yeah. Vedder's
now
definitely
we know.
More
Where's that
roll.
On the geek question list for myself?
How on that one?
And so two albums not to be so excited about, the latest from Tool and Jewel, which is nice. They rhyme, kind of.
Tool
Maybe
and
we
Jewel.
Can make a mashup of that one.
There you go.
Tool, Jewel, mashup.
Will Tool be filled with like 14-minute epic rock songs?
Probably.
We can dream.
And really creepy claymation videos, which always give me nightmares. and just like Jewel's teeth, so they have something in common.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, screw you, Jewel.
Where's my rim shot, damn it?
Joke of the day right there.
It. For music, DVDs, this Tuesday, American Dad Season 1, which I'm completely not excited for. Do either of you guys like that?
I'm guilty of watching it, but it's so not as good as The Family Guy.
Yeah. He did.
It's watch
not
it
even
once.
Close. I think that that DVD set got an F. I believe in EW this last
really?
Week.
Really?
Is the F based on the quality of the show, or just they didn't put any extras into it?
I didn't read it. So.
Oh, okay. You saw the F and you moved
I
on.
Saw the F. And
you like to avoid the F.
Got the F out, yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of surprising if there's nothing extra, because I kind of take Seth MacFarlane as kind of one of those guys that likes to throw lots of extra stuff in. The Robot Chicken DVD season 1, which he's not in charge of, but does plenty of voices on, just has a ton of extra stuff, and some of the best commentary I've ever seen is included on that. And that came out 2 weeks ago. Hmm. Also, Shop Girl, which I wanted to see, but maybe I'll see now that it'll be out on DVD.
What is Shop Girl?
Shop Girl would be a book that was written by Steve Martin, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, the Claire Danes.
Yeah. Yep. Claire Danes and Jason Schwartzman.
Never even heard
Older
of
man falls for a younger shop girl, correct? I think that's the basic plot of the story.
Yeah. Interesting.
And the book was supposed to be very nice, like very short book, like, 150 pages.
That's
or something.
What we like.
Right? But it was supposed to be very good. I think it was a bestseller for a short time. And Shane also wanted me to mention the...
Oh.
Yes. I take no credit for this one. The Double Dip of the Week, which I guess is referring to how they're trying to get more money from a movie that really doesn't really deserve it. The Wedding Singer, totally awesome edition.
Yes.
Wow.
Now, is this the first re-release or the second re-release? Because I think that this is the second time
this
it's been...
might be a triple dip?
Yeah.
A triple dip.
We'll have to look into
I
that.
I think so. Because I think it came out early on when DVDs were, whatever.
And right. So they felt obliged to release it again, and now...
We'll do it one more time.
We'll do it one more time.
And then
catch it.
I'm really
fever.
Actually excited. You might have put it on here for a joke, but Kate and Allie, season
ooh,
one.
Yeah.
I think my mom wants that.
Exactly. So. It's May 2nd. It's
my mom's.
Coming up to Mother's Day. I think my mom would really like that. So.
That's very nice.
Who's the brunette daughter on that one?
Ari Myers. Is that who that was?
I think so.
She's oftentimes a television crossword puzzle answer.
Really?
Yes.
Has she done anything since?
I don't think so.
I think I remember having somewhat of a TV crush on her, but.
Only she a TV a crush.
But that was it.
Hot.
Definitely hot.
In theaters, I guess, next week. I like the contrast between the two big releases next week. There's RV, which looks like, it just looks terrible.
What is Robin Williams doing
with
that?
I mean, don't know. He needs money to get back to his hairy and coked out days.
I think he realizes that nobody wants to see the earnest Robin Williams anymore. That's kind of played out. So he's got to go back to the, I guess he never really did crazy comedy movies though. It was always television, and now maybe it'll be good. Who knows?
Who knows?
Probably not.
I've seen it one time, and it was called Vacation. Thank you.
So there's that wacky comedy, and then there's United 93.
Yes.
Oh goodness.
Now. I went to see Thank You for Smoking yesterday at a theater that has a very nice pre-show entertainment, you know, where you get 20 minutes of
the 20?
Yeah, it's the, well, they've renamed the 20. It's not called the 20 anymore, so I'm a little sad about that. But we went
it's
to
the 25.
It just keeps going and going.
And they had a preview for it, like, you know, talking to the director,
sure.
who also directed The Bourne Supremacy,
mm-hmm.
not Identity, just the
sequel. Okay. So it's not Doug Liman.
Right. It's Paul something, I think. I don't know. Talking about it, and a bunch of the family members were talking about, you know, showing us as hard as they could that we're not exploiting anyone's story here. We're not exploiting anyone. We're telling a story. And I mean, I still kind of felt like it's not that it's too soon. I don't care. You know, like, I'm not offended. I think
it depends on where you live in the country.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm from D.C. I mean, I was there when the plane crashed in the Pentagon. And I mean, I have a lot of friends in New York that don't care, you know. And so none of that bugs me. It just kind of seems like a weird thing to make a movie about. But I watched Ebert and Roper yesterday, because I always do. And they
you have a man crush on Ebert?
Exactly.
Wow.
They're calling it the best movie of the year so far.
Wow.
Which is really surprising to me.
Have you seen the movies that have been out?
Yeah.
I saw Thank You for Smoking, and I really liked it.
Despite, RV, second best movie of the year.
Despite the best efforts from a woman two rows behind me laughing hysterically at things that weren't funny and trying very hard to ruin it for Jess and I.
Now, my comment is not meant to say that United 93 will be a bad film,
mm-hmm.
but I remember seeing recently an article on there's something like a dozen films or something so far that studios have elected not to show to reviewers ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of gives you an idea of the quality of the current film crop.
Yeah.
So far this year hasn't been that great.
And
so I guess for United 93 to be the best movie of the year is probably a pretty easy thing to accomplish.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about that movie too, and I'm kind of like Adam. I'm not really sensitive or bothered by that, but for some reason this movie really strikes me as something that I don't want to see. I mean, it just seems like, man, it's kind of a personal story, and showing that even if they're not trying to exploit it, it really bothers me, and I don't know if I could ever see that.
Doesn't that movie? Doesn't the history need to unfold still a little more?
Yeah,
9/11 thing before they
we still got
wrap
you know,
it
Zacharias
up.
Zacharias Moussaoui on trial, and there's people out there who are responsible for it that haven't been caught, and it's you could say it's too soon.
Yeah, and I know that these people were heroic and definitely they did something because they knew, and I think that's something to be appreciated. But I just, to see that unfold on screen, whether it's an exact representation of what happened or whatever,
it
really bothers me.
Doesn't it start with made for TV movie first? Yeah.
Well, they did
this?
Actually do a
so
made for TV movie.
They have
movie.
Done that?
Yeah, it happened last winter, actually. Okay. So
it's one of the things that is kind of weird to me is, like, you know, they're going to show, you know, them rushing the cabin and everything.
Yeah.
But like, you know, we don't know how that exactly happened.
They'd have
so,
no idea.
Yeah. So, and I know people were calling their family members on cell phones or on the plane phones, but. Anyway, you know, one of the problems I have, and I don't mean to seem callous by this, is you know how it's going to end.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming the end of the movie is them crashing the plane. And, I mean, and the only thing I can relate it to of a movie that I've seen recently is King Kong. And I know it's kind of a weird thing to relate it to. But
I always compare those two together.
But like, I just remember watching King Kong, and like, that's the most emotionally draining movie I've ever seen, because it's like the highs are really high and then the lows are really low. And I just remember like the last 30 minutes of the movie, like really enjoying it, but thinking he's gonna die.
Yeah, this is gonna end badly.
Right.
I know this is gonna end badly.
Right.
And then you take that feeling of dread in this United 93, where, I mean, nothing good comes of it, and you know what's happening. It's a real story.
It's not a fake one.
And you're trapped in this tight little cabin, and it's just nothing but doom and gloom. I don't know if I could see that movie. So
I appreciate the fact that they didn't actually release any snakes on this plane, though.
Wow.
Oh, that'll be so good. We should do a live show from Snakes on a Plane, too.
We will. Any other movies, Adam?
Let's
wrap this show up. I mean, this is sickening.
Let's bring it up a little.
To release this one in two parts.
Mission Impossible 3 is
Mission Impossible 3, Jared.
Let's get the song, no?
God damn. It's coming.
Here it is. There we go.
That's it. Nothing else. I play the music and you climb up.
I don't know. What am I going to do?
Have I mentioned
this?
That we have a big interview with a guy from this movie coming up next week? I'm excited about it.
So we'll save the MI3 talk, I guess, till next week.
Will we have seen this movie when we do the next show?
I don't know.
Probably not me, but maybe you guys can go.
I'll do my best.
I'd like to.
There's a lot of action and burning fuses. That I know. Okay.
And the only, and it's not on my sheet, but I did want to say that I saw the second trailer for A Scanner Darkly, and it looks really good. I know a lot of people are kind of not so high on it because it's like a strange animation style, and Keanu Reeves is in it, playing the Keanu Reeves character, the only character he plays. But I don't know. It seems really intriguing to me. So.
Okay.
I think the Keanu Reeves character works if it's in the right material, and for some reason, this type of sci-fi stuff is right for him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I like Johnny Mnemonic. I thought he was good enough.
Wow.
I liked Constantine, and I know a lot of people didn't because it was such a departure from the comic book. But
I hated Speed. That's all I'm saying.
Well, he clearly doesn't work. It's either Bill and Ted or sci-fi.
Yeah.
So that's it for movies. The only other thing that maybe we want to talk about are comics that are coming out this Wednesday.
Wake up, Al.
We've got Astonishing X-Men 14.
What about, is Yahtzee Force number one out?
Yahtzee Force, Adam. Al is up, Adam.
And I know that Shane and I both like this one. I haven't talked to you about it, Jared, but it's Joss Whedon, creator of Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie and TV show, Firefly and other good stuff like that. He's been writing it, and it's the only X-Men comic book that I've liked as long as I can remember. So that's coming out. And Runaways, which I know Shane and a lot of other people really like. I like it.
You don't like it.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we wrap this up, I want to throw out a stealthy scope mini review real fast, you guys.
Oh,
last night the wife and I watched the first episode of What About Brian, the new J.J. Abrams produced show, and I can say it was awesome. So
really?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I didn't want to watch it. Basic story, it's three couples, and then their seventh wheel friend, Brian, and him trying to find love, and kind of he falls in love with one of the couple's fiancés, who also happens to be his best friend, and it's all sorts of crazy wackiness, but I would say set your TiVo up for it and give it a try, because it's a pretty good show. So there we go. Anyway, let's wrap up the Under the Scope. Under the Scope. All right, we are at the final segment of the show after what feels like an 18-hour scope. We put the demand out to our listeners. We want comments. We want criticism. We want compliments. And we didn't get as much as we want, but we did get something. And Jared's going to handle this. So, Jared, what are people saying about the scope?
Well, hold on. Let me stick my head into the mailbag here and see what we got. Let's see. I think there's something in here.
Wow, he's in it.
Wait. Right back there in the corner. All right, here, I got a couple. Come on back.
Thank you. Whew. Pull your head out of your...
It's a good thing we got such a gigantic mailbag.
Exactly. Let's cavernous. That means you guys need to fill it up. Send us comments. Sing it so that I'm not in there reverbing to them. Hey, Nikki says, I have only been able to listen to part of it because homework is screaming my name and it thinks it's more important than the scope. Clearly it's not.
I don't like the fact that her homework is alive.
Well, that's... that probably is the most shocking part of it.
Yes. Next.
Next message from Media Watcher. I consider myself an advocate for almost any form of new media and for new voices. Provided they make intelligent arguments and assist in creating a positive forum for interchange of ideas. It's uplifting so far. Having said that, I must comment on Adam.
What?
Is this moniker a tasteless biblical joke? from a self-proclaimed Jew?
Self-proclaimed.
Wow.
My mom had nothing to do with that.
His glaring lack of wit is only surpassed by his complete and utter lack of knowledge. The only good thing that Adam could do with a microphone is shove it straight up his ass, spelled a $$, perhaps far enough to destroy his voice box. Scathing. And he goes on to say, now, this show is not without redeeming qualities.
Oh, really? What could that be?
Shane shows obvious potential and should be provided a more leading role.
Thank you.
Wow. Okay.
Right. The guy that talks 99% of the time needs to talk more.
Apparently, I need to hit the mute on all of the microphones except for his. Also, the sound effects and the woman interviewing the Trekkies were great. Is she single, and can you send me her picture?
I would like to point out that sentence structure is not one of, Media Watcher's strong points.
Wow.
It would be was great, not were great.
Wow.
Strunk and White going
so
after.
There you go. Those are our two comments for the week. If you got anything to say, go ahead and send your comments to us at comments@thescopeshow.com or head on over to the website at www.thescopeshow.com and write some comments on the blog. That's where these two came from. And, you know, we always look forward to hearing from you.
As I said last week, the success and failure of this segment falls directly on our listeners. So if you don't participate, we look even worse than what we are, so please send stuff in.
Right. Before we go, I just want to mention that today's Scope Sounds was from a band called Satisfaction from California. You can check them out at www.satisfactionmusic.com. So check them out. They're good.
Very good. So I think that will conclude our show. I want everyone to make sure you tune in 2 weeks when we have our fantastic first celebrity interview, probably not the last. We'll have some great reviews, including a random review of Criminal Minds and all sorts of other wackiness. So for myself, Adam, Jared, and the newest Scope member, Al, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
Burgundy? I'm Ron Burgundy? F*** you.